there was a word I heard this afternoon. I was here at the church till about 1 or 2. So I went home and I began to just get my Bible set together with the Lord for a little while. And there was a word that kept coming to me. And it was radical change. And, you know, for us in America and this time, it almost sounds like that's an old cliche. But when I heard it today, it wasn't cliche. But I heard the Lord saying that there is radical change upon us. So no matter what you've been going through, now remember that gold we bought from him, that gold we buy from him, Joel, and that gold, he said, that gold comes out of those who are tried in the fire. So us who have been in fire at different times, we have purchased gold from him. Why? He said, so that you can be rich. Rich where? Oh, rich just in every area of life, every area of your body, every area. Okay, so radical change. I believe there's a radical change coming upon America. We just all know that. We can all see it. Something's getting ready to break. But I just hear the Lord saying, but I'm making my church ready. I've got her ready. Radical change, radical whatever. So get ready, and I want you to hold on to that word. Okay, I think that here's what he began to minister to me, and if you have your Bibles, Kathy, we will go to a very familiar chapter out of Ezekiel 37. So get to Ezekiel 37, but here's, folks, here's what we do in prayer. Here's what we're going to do in a few minutes. And here's what you did this morning. And here's what you did this afternoon. We partner with God. God never did anything on this earth unless he did it through people. I mean, he opened the Red Sea. But would he have done it without Moses being obedient? He said, Moses, take that rod. What's that in your hand? He said, God, it's just a stick, a rod. And he goes, well, put it out over the water. He put it over the water, and it split. Moses, hit that rock. Hit that rock with your stick. He hit it, and the rock split and watered them for a long time. Now, there's two different occasions of that, but that one's the one I'm using. At one point, he said, speak to the rock. At the other one, he said, hit the rock. So there's times in our life that there's things that will be a premonition to you, and you will feel it. Not everything is like that with him. But I say when you feel to pray for somebody or you feel maybe to go get somebody on the phone or you just feel to do something, it's really important that you're obedient to that. Can I just tell you a little personal story real quick? Okay, those of you that have been with me a long time, I was sharing with Larry and Linda yesterday some of these things I used to do. It's crazy. But I learned through those little things how to hold on in the big things. And so Sarah was a little baby, and Jamie was at school, and Jamie was probably in about, second or third grade, and Sarah was still a baby. And so I heard this in my spirit, and, man, I was just quick because I spent hours in prayer during that time, and after they both went to school, you know, I don't want to just belabor that lest I sound like something I'm not trying to sound like. So anyway, I heard the Lord say, and I knew it was him, because I wouldn't tell myself to do that. I'm a busy mom, and the devil didn't want me to get blessed. So I heard, go out there beside the guest house, which was our little office, go down to the barn and get a shovel, go back there and dig a 2-foot hole. And so I said, okay, I'll go dig that 2-foot hole in just a little while, soon as the baby wakes up. Well, when she got up, I had to feed her and then bathe her and take care of her. And so I said, okay, Lord, I'll go after I get her all fixed up. Well, by that time, she's ready to go back to sleep. You know how babies are. So she wanted to go back to sleep. So I let her go back to sleep. And I said, well, when she wakes up, I'll go do that. Well, when she woke up, then it was time for Rick and some of the hired hands that came up to the house for lunch. And so I was getting them lunch, and I'm thinking, well, as soon as they go back, well, then the baby woke up. Well, it's time to do that. And then Jamie was getting out of school, and her party was about ready to start in a little while. And I'm like, oh, man, I've got to get down there and dig that hole. I knew I had to go do it. So when we got the shovel, I dug that 2-foot hole about 2 feet as far down as I thought it could go. got down there and hit a pipe. And so you know how you are. You know how we think, okay, what am I going to find in that hole? I'm probably going to find a bunch of money. It's probably what I'm going to find. Well, there was nothing there. So I just covered the hole up real quick and patted it down. Maybe I'm getting that story mixed up with one when you were... She was older in this one because I remember this. The next one, when he told me to go to the reservation, she was a baby then. All right. So this one, I tell her, this is why I'm remembering that, Sarah, because I dug the hole, covered it all up, patted it with a shovel, and then I said, baby, do not tell Daddy and Jamie what Mama did. I won't, Mommy, I won't. So because it just didn't make any sense. So anyway, the little party kids came up from the school, and they all came, and their pin and tail on the donkey, you know, all those old games we used to have, just having a time. So we sat down for dinner that night, and Sarah says, Daddy, guess what Mama did today? And he says, no telling, honey. And says, what did Mama do? And she says, she went and dug a hole. He said, with a spoon? She said, no, with your shovel. And he said, Paulette, why'd you dig that hole? I said, honey, I just don't know why I dug that hole. Well, then, you don't know why you dug it, and you dug it. And my little Jamie was really, really smart girl like little Ainsley. And she says, Mama, you've done a lot of stupid things before, but I think that's about the dumbest thing you've ever done. And I said, well, anyway, I knew I was supposed to dig that hole. All right, so here's the story. Okay, we had just moved up to the ranch. My baby, Jamie, she had been through some eye surgery, so things were a little tough. A lot of doctor bills. So now we're moving up there into a land of prosperity. You know, we'd held on, and God's getting ready to bless us, but we weren't there yet. So anyway, we had cars on the ranch, okay? He had a truck. We had a Bronco. We had other trucks. We had cars on the ranch, but I had this horrible little orange Pinto wagon with a dented fender and bald tires. Okay, bald tires, and I'm running up and down that hill with my babies in the car with me. Okay, so I knew I needed it, but there's no money to buy those tires. And so then I'm thinking, okay, now we're in this beautiful spread up there. At this point, we only had 300 acres. And it grew into 2,000 acres by the time they died. Okay, so here I am. And I need that. Well, then I was watching PTL Club, and they had this Bible study course. I'm telling you, I wanted that Bible study course so bad, but it was $100, and it was like 5 volumes. And I could learn if I could just get that Bible study course, but it was $100, and it may as well have been $1,000, because I couldn't get it. I didn't even ask my husband. It just wasn't going to happen. So I said, oh, God, you know how bad I'd love to have that course. Okay, so I wanted that, and then you know how it is when you don't have any money, and you can just think of eating that steak. I mean, if you love steak or you love salmon or whatever you like, you just think about, oh, that would be so good to have a steak and a baked potato. And then when you have the money, you're like, I don't know what I want to eat. Shoot, I'll just have a taco. But anyway, I just thought, I'd sure love to have a steak and baked potato. And this, just, you know, little things like that. But I can remember these because the Lord brought those to me so that I'd never forget them when I share them. So there were a lot of little things like that. My mother was in the hospital. I wanted to buy her flowers. But I'm going to tell you, there wasn't $10 to go buy her flowers. Okay, there just wasn't. So anyway, I went out and dug that 2-foot hole. Well, 2 days later, I'm coming up this big drive up to the house, this big dirt road. So I'm driving up there, and there's something red in the window. When the owner built that ranch house, it was brand new. It looked like a red barn, and he had put bars on all the windows because we didn't live far up the reservation. So here was this beautiful red barn with these white wrought iron bars all over the windows. There was something red in that bar, in those window bars. And I look, and when I got up there, it was that Bible study course from the PTL Club. Whole set, brand new set Bible study course. I was going to get a little degree, a little certificate out of studying that. It was a big deal, man. I went through all that. Woo, I had a good time studying. So anyway, a few days later, I go to town, and we had these friends that lived down. You guys know the Waits. They lived down on the corner there on 8th Street, and we'd go down there and take the girls and go swimming. And so one day we were there, and Leo says, hey, could I have the keys to your car? He says, you're in my way, and I'm getting ready to leave. I need to get my truck out. So he gets his, I said, sure, I'll give him the car keys. And he goes and takes it down to the tire shop. When I walk out, that car had brand new tires on it. Whole brand new set of tires. I said, I called later. I said, Leo, any idea where those new tires came from? Girl, I couldn't let you run up down that hill, those bald tires. And I knew Brother Rick probably didn't have the money, you know. And so anyway, you're not working. You're just getting started up there. I said, all right, all right. Anyway, we were just praising the Lord. Went to church the next Sunday. You know what this couple said to Brother Rick? Hey, would you and Paulette go to dinner with us? We'd like to talk to you about something. Took us to the steakhouse. You'll order anything you want. I got my steak and baked potato. And I mean these blessings. The Lord said, I want you to look back at them. I dug that hole 2 weeks ago. And every 2 days, there were blessings, blessings, blessings. I could go on if I could remember them all, but now. But I'm just telling you guys, do the simple things that you feel. No matter how insignificant it feels. I wish I could just take time and go on with that, but do you want me to? You know, maybe that's what I'd do tonight, huh? Yeah? What you gonna do? Take me to get a steak? I'm okay now, honey. It's right here. You want to lay hands on it? Okay. All right, in Jesus' name. Okay, go ahead, in Jesus' name. She's praying for my left knee. Praise God. Thank you, sis. I appreciate that so much. Woo, thank you. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Sweet Jesus. Listen to this. I did write this down. I'm just kind of feeling my way through with the Lord right now. It's somewhere I wanted to go, but I was thinking I might go with some of those. But there's different camps of people in the church. There's the prophetic camp, and there's the faith camp, and there's the, you know, grace camp. And so people kind of huddle together in all these groups. And so Dick Eastman, does anyone remember Dick Eastman? Do y'all remember him, some of you? Well, he ran with the prophetic camp. He ran with like the Cindy Jacobs and the Dutch Sheets and Cheyenne and a bunch of those in that day. Well, one night the Lord woke him up and told him, said, Dick, he said, I want you to go to Russia, excuse me, to Germany. I want you to go to Germany. And I want you to lay hands on the Berlin Wall. And I want you to speak 5 words over it. And I want you to say this to that wall. Fly to Germany, go to the Berlin Wall, lay your hands on it, and say these 5 words. In the name of Jesus, come down. And he said, that's all I want you to do. And you get back on that plane and you come home. That's all you've got to do. So he went and told his wife, he said, honey, I've heard from the Lord. And she said, yeah, what are we going to do? He says, well, we're not going to do anything, but he told me to go to Germany, da, da, da. She said, well, I'll go get you a ticket. He went to Berlin, and that's when the Iron Curtain was up. It was all still up. And he said, you come down in the name of Jesus. That's all he said. He left, didn't feel nothing, didn't see anything, went home. And it wasn't 2 months. President Reagan said, Gorbachev, tear down that wall. And he got all the glory for it. But in those days, this was an impossibility. Even though it happened, we could hardly believe it. Do any of you remember that? I mean, it was just hard to believe that that thing came down. And then Dick Eastman went over and just simply told it, calm down. So don't take lightly what the Lord tells you to do, because it was like Ezekiel Okay, he partnered with God. Moses partnered with him. Elijah told the clouds, he told the heavens not to rain for 3.5 years, and it didn't. And then it went to a drought, and then he told it to rain, and it came back. And the Bible said that those were the words of God. Though it wasn't God that spoke it, it was Elijah. God tore down the Berlin Wall, but he told Dick Eastman, and he obeyed him. And President Reagan didn't even know he was being obedient, but he was. Okay. So then God told Ezekiel, in Ezekiel chapter 37, he shows him this vision. Now, I'm telling you men, and I know I've told you before, but you men have to pay attention to what you dream. And you have to pay attention to the visions you have, because you're going to start having those. I'm just telling you, say, oh, I'm insignificant. It doesn't matter. No, in this house, every life counts. And the Lord told me to begin to listen and hear what the people of God say and what you dream and what you hear. And then he said the handmaidens would prophesy. The words would come out of your mouth. And it won't be a general prophecy like, oh, Lynn, I see that you've been having trouble for a couple of years. Really? Which one of you haven't had problems in 2 years? All right, so we're not talking about that kind. We're talking about the kind when my husband and I had planned a trip. We had never had a vacation before. Jamie was a little girl. And we were praying. I said, Rick, I'd like to go on a vacation this summer. He says, you know we can't go on vacation. I'm the only one working. Jamie just had that second surgery, and we had no insurance. That's before you had to have it. So anyway, long story short, I said, no. He said, oh, I'd love to. I would love to. He says, where were you thinking about going? I said, well, I'd love to go to Texas. My grandma's getting old, you know. She's getting way up in age. I'd like to go see her and all my mom's family and show them our new baby. We were very close to them. Like to show them our baby. And Jamie was about a year. So he said, well, he said, let's pray about it. Well, that's all I needed. I said, okay, we're going. So anyway, his vacation was coming up. I said, well, put in for your vacation. It was summertime. So he put in. He got 2 weeks. I said, okay. And so we started praying. And boy, that vacation, it just seemed like it came fast. It came so quickly. Time was approaching. And so I didn't tell him, but I would go check the mailbox. And then he didn't tell me, but he would go check the mailbox when he came home. We were both checking the mailbox. You know, we ask him for it, but then we tell him how it's going to come. So went to the mailbox. There was nothing there. And we just kept on. And, you know, he says, now, do not tell anyone that we need that money. If we get the money to go on this vacation, and it's provided, and I have the time, it's going to be from him. It's not going to be coming from anyone else. You do not say one word to anyone. I said, okay, we didn't say anything. So the day came. It was Friday. He got off work. We were planning on leaving at 3 o'clock in the morning, like my dad would, to get over that Mojave Desert while it was really hot. So we're going to leave at 3 o'clock in the morning. So he came home from work. He said, anything come in? I said, no. But that's all right. It will. Ugh, Paulette, you're killing me. My mother called. She said, honey, what are you all doing? I said, Mom, we're leaving about 3 o'clock in the morning. You got the money to go? No. I don't know why you do that. I said, because we're going in the morning. Okay? We're going to take the baby. We're going to have our first vacation together, first family vacation. So that night, true story, I don't even have to say that. You know what, some of you heard it before maybe. So he said, well, what do we do? I said, well, let's pack the car. Man, I already had suitcases packed. So we got the suitcases and he put them all in a car and he made the baby a little spot back there, you know, and we're all ready to go. He said, well, I guess I'll go get in the shower. I said, well, go ahead. We'll go to bed early so we can get up in the morning by 3. No money, honey. 9 o'clock, he's in the shower, the phone rings. It's Sister Iman Oswalt. She's an old woman, but a preaching machine, still traveling around the United States preaching. So she calls me, and she had stayed at our house many times when she came to do revivals for our church. So she called me, and she said, Sister Paulette, what is Brother Rick looking for? I said, how do you know he's looking for something? Well, I had a vision. And it was an open vision. And I saw the hood of a car raised. And I saw him looking down under the hood. She said, but he wasn't working on the car. He was looking for something. And the Lord told me to call you and find out what he was looking for. And I'm supposed to give that to him. I said, well, we're going on vacation in the morning, but we don't have any money. She said, well, you do now. How much were you waiting for? And I said, $500. Because at that time, that was a whole bunch. I mean, that'd get you to Texas and back. And, you know. She said, can you come to Ivanhoe? I said, yes. I said, when? She says, right now. I said, as soon as that man's out of the shower, we're coming to Ivanhoe. We went straight to Ivanhoe, got our money, and left at 3 o'clock in the morning. So you see, it's you've got to hold on, but boy, it's wear and tear on your faith. You know what my mother said, bless her heart? I called her. I said, Mom, it's 10 o'clock. I woke her up. I said, Mom, I just had to tell you. I said, we're leaving at 3 o'clock in the morning. I knew you would, honey. I knew Jesus would come through. I said, you did not, and you know it. Okay, I could go on, but I'm just saying, be careful and hold on for what you're believing God for, because God took Ezekiel out to that dry ground and all those dry bones, and then God shows him all those bones in the vision, and then the Bible says, pull that up, Kathy, if you can, Isaiah 37. I want to have just a few minutes here to pray, but look at chapter 37, verse 1. The hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley. And what was it? It was full of bones. Boy, I wouldn't have wanted that vision. It was full of bones. And he caused me to pass by them all around, and behold, there were very many in the open field, and indeed they were very dry. I'm thinking, how else do you think bones would be? He said, no, these were very, very dry. And he said to me, son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, oh, Lord God, you know. Sometimes you just got to say, you know, Lord. And he said to me, son of man, can these bones live? You know, look at verse 4. And he said to the man of God, God could have just came down and resurrected those bones. He did it anyway, but he said, son of man, you prophesied of those bones. Prophesy to these bones and say to them, he told him what to say, oh, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God of these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter into you and you shall live. I will put sinews on you and bring flesh upon you and cover you with skin. Now he goes, sinews underneath the skin, and then I'm going to put skin on you. Where am I? Verse 6, I will put sinew on you and bring flesh upon you, and I'll cover you with skin. And look, I will put breath in you so that you shall live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. See, this is what all this miracle stuff is about us knowing that he is the Lord. But look at this, you guys, look at this. He said, so I prophesied. I did what I was commanded as I prophesied. There was a noise, and suddenly a rattling of the bones. The bones came together, bone to bone. And indeed, as I looked, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them. But, read it. What? There was no breath. God just told us in verse 5, and he said again in verse 6, I will put breath in you bones. He told him twice, I'm going to put breath in them. And now he did everything he was supposed to do. These bones got up. They've got sinew. They've got covering. They've got skin. But they're not breathing. And God said, I told you were going to breathe. How many of you got a promise and God's done it just about halfway and now you haven't got the whole thing? Man, that can be disappointing. I thought.
And it's not completely done yet. And so he says, now, there was verse 8. Oh, wait, let me ask Chris something. Brother Chris, where are you? I saw you a minute. Chris, when it says those suddenly a rattling of the bones, is that that song you're getting ready to learn, The Grave and the Gardens? Is that, I can hear those dry bones rattling. That's a different song? Okay. All right, well, there's a song that says that. Okay, so he says, now there was a rattling of the bones. See, that's what you guys are hearing. That's what we're hearing. That's what I'm hearing about this radical thing. There's something happening, and we can hear the dry bones rattling, but we're not quite seeing the breath yet. We're not seeing the breath. I know revival's coming. I know there's an outpouring. I already have the name for the outpouring in Porterville. I already know what it's going to be, but I'm not seeing the breath yet. We're seeing all kinds of things happening, and you're feeling some things happening in your life, in your family, in situations you've got, and then it's like it all backs out. It all went crazy. It all went off the rails. Verse 8, indeed I looked, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them, but there was no breath. Also, somebody say also, God says to him, look, it's capital H, he said to me, prophesy. Look, you got to read this carefully now. This was a new revelation to me tonight. Also, he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath. Say the. Prophesy to the breath, says the Lord God. Come from the four winds. O breath. He's still talking to the breath. The breath. Come, O breath, and breathe on the slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath came into them, and they lived, and they stood upon their feet, an exceeding great army. I mean, they got up, and now they're a big old army, and look at this. And then he said to me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They indeed say, our bones are dry. Here's what we're saying, church. Here's why I wanted you to hear this. What's Israel saying? That's God's people. Our bones are dry. Our hope is lost. And we ourselves, they didn't say we'll feel like we're cut off. They said we are cut off. Lord, look what we have done. You've cut us off. Verse 12. Therefore prophesy, and you say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, oh, my people, I will open your graves and I will cause you to come up from your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. Then you will know that I'm the Lord when I have opened your graves. Oh, my people brought you up out of the graves. I will put my spirit in you and you shall live. And I will place you in your own land. And you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, says the Lord. Yes, he's spoken it. He spoke it and he performed it. Yes, he did. But it came through the mouth of a man. Came through the mouth of a man. Now, when Ezekiel spoke to the breath, who was the breath? The breath was the Holy Ghost. You know that the breath of God is the Holy Spirit. So he was actually, he said, prophesy to the breath. That was the Holy Ghost. Not to just for them to breathe out of their lungs. Prophesy to the Holy Spirit to come. And he says, tell him to come from the four corners of the earth. And so here came the Holy Spirit. And he blew just like he did on the day of Pentecost. Acts chapter 2. There's a breath that's blowing across the land again. And folks, let me tell you something. We are in the lineup. And I'm fighting for it right now. Now, things might get a little rough because I'm fighting. We're contending. You've got to contend for this faith. We have to contend. And I said to somebody the other day, we're not going to let anybody mess this up now. Okay, we're too close. The breath's coming in. I feel the glory of God. It's a radical time, church. It's radical. And so you all just do what he tells you to do and dream and pay attention and ask God before you go to bed at night to speak to your heart. Stand with me, Lord. Stand with me. Lord Jesus, we hear the dry bones rattling. We hear the dry bones. Lord, our spirits need to be awakened.
Awaken our hearts. Awaken our spirit. Oh, come. Church, call for the Holy Ghost to come. Holy Spirit, come. Oh, Holy Ghost, come from the four corners of the earth. Come, 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 come. Glory to God. Could I have you all do something real quick? Let's make this a little more personal. Could I get about 4 or 5 or 6 of you together in a little circle and just pray? Would you just speak to the Holy Ghost and prophesy to the Holy Ghost to come? Just get out here in the middle of the aisle. Get about 4 or 5 people with you, and one of you be the leader. Come on. Connie, you and Miss Gloria and Shannon, and come on, Jeff. Join these girls right here and land. Come together. Come on, Jeff. Come up here, these women. Come on, gather. Don't be afraid. Let's just do it real quick. Linda and T. Leon, Brother Ted, will you all get the Powells right there? Get the Powells. Spread them out. There you go. Come up here, Sylvia and Cindy and Viv. Come with me. Joanna, will you come up here with Joelle and maybe you and Ramona or somebody? Okay, I'm going to have 2 testimonies here real quick. Come, Cindy. Cindy gave us a request the other night, and you and I put our faith together, and I want you to hear what happened.
About a month ago, I have a coworker whose 6-month-old baby, Sierra View, couldn't figure out what was wrong with her, so they sent her to Children's Hospital in Madera. She was there back and forth, and last week, her organs were shutting down, and this poor mother was going up there from work every day, driving from this area all the way up to Madera to spend the night there. Well, that mother bear came out in that mother, and she lit into the doctors. They even brought a doctor in from Texas to treat this baby. They thought they had her diagnosed, but it was not correct. So this woman went out and started searching for a pediatrician in that area. And I spoke to her. My other coworker and I have been just slowly testifying to her about God's grace. And I told her, I said, I realize you are tired, you are scared, you are angry. And if all you can say is, Jesus, help me. That's all you need to say. He will. She found a doctor. He had her sign a release for him to get all of her x-rays. She had brain scans. She had the whole 9 yards. He called her back and said, I know what's wrong with your daughter. He never saw Amber. All this was done through e-sign. Her tooth, one of her teeth was impacted, and it was causing high fever. All that doctor did was he went, and this doctor did not charge her one penny. She was in between insurance because she was on a probationary period. He did not charge her one penny. And they have no insurance. So he went to the hospital. She signed all the forms. He just slightly cut that gum so that tooth could come through. Everything started to turn. That baby's home right now. And this doctor will continue to monitor her child until he feels like she's no longer in danger. And if there are any, if there's anything wrong with that baby because of what the hospital did, he will help her battle with the hospital.
Wow.
So,
wow.
If and that woman had a mustard seed of faith. That's all she had.
Well, she had that, but she had a friend named Cindy that said, all you got to do, if you don't know what else to say in Jesus' name, or whatever you said to her. See? That's like the Berlin Wall fell. It really is. That's like Berlin Wall coming down. I mean, that's big stuff, folks. Thank you, Cindy, for sharing that. This brother just had a vision. This is Jose. You all see him on most Wednesdays. Juan, I've been calling him. Sorry. How come you didn't
tell me that earlier. I always call you Jose.
I was going to mention it the other day, but I just let it.
Okay. So what's your name again?
Juan.
Juan?
Yes. Zuniga.
I'm so glad you're here with us on Wednesdays.
I'm blessed.
I know you are. Okay. Hear this testimony, and then we'll go home.
It started since the camp meeting here about two weeks ago. Yeah. I've been praying and fasting and getting right with the Lord and just putting all the work in. I'm just, every day I'm fasting and praying and just asking God to use me, to lift me up and use me. And then yesterday I was reading the Bible and I was reading Deuteronomy 28, verse 8. It says, the Lord will command the blessing on you and your storehouses and all to which you set your hand, and he will bless you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. And then today when I heard Pastor Paulette talking about the promise is coming, but we still need to complete it. And God was just revealing to me that vision I had last night. I went to bed and then I always dream and I need to be more careful and write down my dreams like you're saying. But I had a vision of a green field, a beautiful green field. And then there were some people standing on it, and I was like on top looking down on it. But then all of a sudden, I saw a bunch of people in that same field, like multiplying. And I was like, wow, is that the land the Lord is giving me? I was like, that's a blessing. And the Lord was revealing to me that the land that he's giving me, he's going to put souls, multiply the souls to win for God. So I just wanted to share that, Pastor pieced it together this afternoon. Thank you, Pastor.
Amen. Now, Danny, is Brother Juan the one you invited from your work friend? Isaiah's friend from the mortuary.
Yes.
Yeah, that's where I met you, the mortuary. Well, thank you, Isaiah. See? Now, look, here's each one, bring one. Isaiah brought one. Now, we can't say, oh, I'm all done. I brought one. All right. Amen. Thank you. God bless you. Come on. Give Brother Juan your love tonight. Now, don't be calling him Jose. In Jesus' name. Come on. Stand with me tonight. May the Lord bless you and keep you, cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May he turn his beautiful countenance toward you and give you peace in Jesus' name and give you dreams and visions and everything that he wants us to have, and may his purpose be alive in us, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you all. I love you. Thank you for being here on Wednesday.